Sermon title is a work. James 2:19 through 20, a book that is filled with living out your faith. A book, if you go back to Martin Luther, one of the problems that he had, he called the book of James the book of straw. And he believed that the book of James shouldn't have been involved in the Bible because it had so much to do with works. But he come from a background where the Pope was at that time, Leo X, I believe, was selling sin passes because they were trying to build things for Catholicism, for the Catholic teaching. So you could go in and you could pay the priest and get absolution before you did the sin. And if you were forgiven by the priest, then you didn't even need to feel guilty about it. How nice. And so this was the mindset that Martin Luther had. And so when he saw, not that he just saw the book of James, but when he looked at the book of James through those eyes, he had a real problem with it. But the book of James is a wonderful reading because it shows us how to live out our faith. 2:19 through 20, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? One of the things that you see in this passage, it says that the demons believed. And a lot of people that go with a faith-only teaching, they say all you have to do is believe. So you have to ask the question when you run across scriptures like this, were the demons saved because they believed? The answers that most give is that the demons don't have a true faith. So certainly they're not saved. They don't have a true faith. But what's not true about believing in the Son of God? Scripture said that they believed. You can't tell me that they didn't have a true faith. They actually saw God. They actually saw creation. They actually saw man fall. They actually seen Jesus when he raised from the dead and what that did to Satan. How can you tell me that they didn't have a true faith? But that's the answer that you'll be given, is that they didn't have a true faith. No, they knew what was going on. They saw it. If you go to Mark 5, 6 through 7, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, talking about the demons. And it says, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." The demon fell down and worshiped Jesus. He called him the Son of God. That's what Peter did when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Bible says here that the demon even fell down and worshiped him. Why? Because he was God. That's why. You can't tell me that the demons did not have a real faith. So I got a real problem with somebody saying that you just have to believe in Jesus and the things that he did, and that will bring about salvation, because that is not what happens. And so when you look at what James said here, is that faith without works is dead, then that bears the question, what works is he talking about? And a lot of people have problems with this because they really struggle with this. But I think Scripture gives us some good answers. And when you open a topic like this, there's no way in the next 25 minutes that I can answer that fully. But the answers that will be given here will be enough to show you the works that's talked about and the faith that is expected from those works. Okay? And you can see that without a doubt that it is not a faith-only teaching that God pushes with His Bible. He pushes with the Scripture that the apostles taught. James 2:18, if we back up before this happened, But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. But let's just take for example, okay? And it's so hard to put this into words, but bless you. So you have someone that never goes to church, never opens the Bible, but yet they constantly talk about how good God has been to them in their life. And then you have someone over here who goes to church. You hear them, they're quoting Scripture. Bless you. You hear them, they're quoting Scripture. They do things for the church. They give of their money. They give of their time. And they also talk about God. So in this passage it says, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you had to pick which one was, because faith is supposed to be an action word. If you look it up, it is. Faith is supposed to be something that accomplishes something. And faith, at the very least, would accomplish faithfulness. So, which one of those two are being faithful? The one that simply talks about their religion or the one that lives it out? And see, when you put this into context, you can see that James is talking about someone who lives out their faith. Not exactly specifically the works that are being done, but someone that lives out their faith. But there is something that James does talk about, and that Romans does talk about, and Ephesians does talk about works that will make it clearly understood what works God says will not save you. And later, in at the end, we'll see which works will save us. The truth is, there's very little that we do at all that's not a work, right? Y'all see me up here, if I was doing this, y'all wouldn't say, man, Calvin's up there performing a work, right? You put a dumbbell on the end of this thing. That's a work right there. It's even called work. It's called working out. Huh? But just up here doing this, you wouldn't. See, there's very little that we do that we would consider that's not work. People go for walks around the neighborhood to get in some exercise. That's work. So when I'm walking from here to my car or from here back to the bathroom or whatever, that's a little bit of work. There's very little that we do that would not be classified as work. So we need to be careful to think that God just expects us to sit there and breathe and do nothing else. Correct? I mean, work is the action of the body. For example, praying. And I can tell you this for personal experience. Anyone that has a consistent prayer life knows this is work. Isn't it? To push back the distractions of the world, to push back the distractions of your mind and of your family, of work and food and money, kids, right? And to go somewhere and to pray to God. I'm not just talking about, you know, Lord, I just want to thank you for the day, and it's just wonderful being, you know, just being a part of your church, and yeah, you know, just great. I'm talking about a heartfelt prayer. You know, Lord, there's people that I love that aren't here. Lord, there's people that have been here that aren't here anymore. You've given me so much. How can I use what you've given me to help others? How can I reach out? How can I be a true servant? Pray for those that are struggling. I pray for those that we know of that are in sickness and their health is failing and it's not going to get any better. I pray that they could see you in the light to know that you're a life after this life. That you provide real hope, real strength. I'm talking about real prayers. And anybody that has a consistent prayer life, anybody that struggles to do these things knows that this is a work. It's a work. It's every bit as much work as you get up in the morning and go into your living room where there's nobody there and you pray for 10 or 15, 20 minutes, whatever time that things that come into your mind is as if you were to go work out. Every bit as much of a work. But this is a work of faith. You see, we pray. Who we pray to is not seen. It is by faith that we pray because we believe he that is not seen hears us. Do you mean to tell me that God is going to disqualify you for that work because you are working in faith to him and to others? People that believe that there's nothing that you do that brings about your salvation, they are wrong. Because prayer is a work, and prayer is one of the foundations that make the church. God requires that we pray as Christians. And if we do not, He tells us that if we continue down this path, He will remove His lampstand. He will pull away from us. Because prayer is what makes one of the foundations that makes the church. You go to Acts 2:42, you see that? And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and in prayers. Prayers. It is a work of faith. And see, now when you see when James is talking about something, you see that James is talking about a work that is of faith that brings about a growth in us, that brings about a maturity, that brings about God's plan coming into action. That's why He put the church here, was to save souls. And how we do that, part of how we do that, is that we continue to pray. And that is a work that God has given us. And if you don't pray on a consistent basis, try it. It's a work. I'll reiterate that again. It's a work. But I'm not trying to be philosophical here that we say that, okay, so we walk into the church and that's a work, and we sit down and we take part in the communion and we reach out with our hands. I'm not trying to show that these actions that we do is work. I'm trying to say that there are things that we do that is a work of faith. And without these works of faith, we cannot find salvation. Ephesians 2:8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This is a great place and the easiest place for somebody to go for a faith-only doctrine. That they believe that all you have to do is believe. They're not so much concerned about whether if you're here or not. They're not so much concerned about whether this table is present. They're not even really concerned so much about the doctrine because they just want to teach feel-good messages. They want to bring people in. They're not so much concerned about that. They're just concerned whether if you believe in the name of Jesus. And if you do, they'll accept whatever teaching you came from, whatever immersion or sprinkling or anything that you've had. They accept it all because they only see the one criteria to make a Christian, to save a soul, is to believe on the name of Jesus. And this is a great place that they want to go to. But I'm going to show you a verse that's going to shoot that theory right in the head. You see here, this is Paul that wrote Ephesians. And he says that the grace and the gift of God is not by works, because we shouldn't boast. Now he also wrote in Romans, because this is the same person that wrote Ephesians. And he starts off with the end of that other verse. He says, where is boasting? Is he not getting ready to talk about the same thing? He says, it is excluded. And he tells you why, when the other passage, if we go back, it says that by grace has been given, been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. We're going to show you what kind of works that he's talking about here. Because you've got to understand, in the beginning of the church, the biggest struggle that they had was the Jews coming out from under the law and the Jews accepting the Gentiles into the faith. This was enormous. This was the biggest struggle that Paul had reaching out to the Jews, is that they could believe in Christ, but they just couldn't give up that physical circumcision. They couldn't give up the law and the requirements, the works of the law. They couldn't give those things up. And so Paul was trying to get them to see that it was belief in Christ. That's what he told Nicodemus in John 3:16. He said, For God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him. See, Jew, he was a Jew. Nicodemus was a Jew. What did he believe in? He believed in the law that would save him. He said it's no longer works of the law that would save you, but the belief in Christ. This was a big thing for the Jew, because if the Jew believed in Jesus, they had to give up the law. You couldn't have both. Paul told them that if you try to hold on to both, you've fallen from grace. So anyway, here Paul says that not of works, lest anyone should boast. And he tells us what he's talking about right here in Romans. He says, where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Tell me this isn't the same passage. Then he turns around and he says, no, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. That's what it said right here, right? Been saved through faith, apart from the deeds of the law. You see, almost all the time when you see in the New Testament that when you see an apostle trying to say that you're not saved by works, he's trying to tell them that they're not saved by works of the law. Because if they were saved by works of the law, then they could boast before God that you didn't give me anything. I came into the tabernacle on Saturdays. I'm the one that helped the priest with the showbread. I'm the one that washed my hands. I did this all the time before I ate. He said it's not works of the law that would bring about salvation. It was works of faith that would bring about salvation. So we see here, it's like, oh, okay, a light bulb should go off. Say, okay, I can see that. It was, the Jews were predominant in the beginning church. It was a struggle. We saw that. The Jews didn't want to reject the law, and they didn't want to accept the Gentiles. This was a big struggle in the beginning of the church. And so there was this enormous fight going on, and the letters that were written to the churches were trying to show these Jews that still held on to the law in the back of their mind that it was okay to let that go and to trust fully in Christ. That you can't hope that these works that you did under the law would bring about salvation. Let's focus on your faith in Christ, that what He did would bring about salvation. And you say, okay, so I get it. It's not the works that we do. It's the works that He did. So what is the works of faith? Do I want to do those? And the answer is definitely yes. Romans 5:9 says we're justified by His blood. Titus 3:7 says we're justified by His grace. Where does blood fit in when you just believe? Huh? What's blood got to do with just believing? What's His grace got to do when I bring belief to the table? Oh, He's given me grace for what? I'm the one that believed in You. I'm the one that struggled. You see, all of these things work together. I'll show you how. Or Scripture will show you how. I can't do anything. Ask my wife. James 2:21-22. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Bible says later that God said that He believed in him and He accredited it to him as righteousness. God said, take your son up on that mountain and offer him up as a sacrifice. And so if Abraham hadn't have done that, would he have disobeyed God? Well, of course. And that's not how we bring about salvation, is not listening to God, shutting the book and going about our own business. God asked him to do something. And you know why Abraham did it? Because he believed God. We don't see a body raising from the dead. We don't see a promise of a normal resurrection prior to this. We get a promise of a Savior coming, but Abraham was told, he had two sons, remember? Isaac and Ishmael. Remember? And Ishmael was the first one, and God said, it's not through Ishmael that your seed is coming, it's through Isaac. So he specifically said that the offspring of Isaac was going to bring about salvation to the world. Okay, so here he's taking Isaac up there, and he was a young man. He wasn't married, didn't have any children, and God said, kill him. It doesn't even make sense, does it? So the Bible says that he believed God. And so any rational person would have said, if God says that salvation is going to come from his offspring, and I'm to kill him, then certainly God would raise him from the dead. Because he knew when he was going up on that mountain that he was going to go slay his son. That's what God had told him. And when he told the people, he says, me and the lad go yonder and we will return. We will return. And he knew what he was going up on that mountain to do. But he had faith in God and his works that he went up there and he raised that knife above that child. And the Bible says, the angel says, do not harm a hair on that boy's head. He says, because you have shown that you will withhold nothing from God. Nothing. I'll read it again. Was not Abraham our father justified? When you say Abraham our father, James is talking to a Jew because Jew considered Abraham as his father. So again, he's talking to the Jew about works that they did under the law versus works that Christ was going to produce in you, that you were going to do because of belief in God. Not because someone told you to do it that it would help you, but because you believed God. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? His altar. Certainly he was justified by those works. God told him to do it. If he hadn't have done it, he disobeyed God. So when you look up here, we see justified by faith, justified by his blood, justified by his grace, justified by his works. You can't throw out all this stuff and choose a faith-only doctrine because the Bible does not support that idea. It supports a work of faith that brings about salvation, not works of man. Verse 22. Do you see that his faith, his belief in God, was working together with his works? And by his works, his faith was made perfect. Remember what we said, show me your faith and I will show you my faith by my works? It's easy to say, I believe God. But then God says, slay your son. You have done that? You have children. Would you have done that? This is faith. He took him up there and he was going to do this because he believed in God. That is a work of faith. That is a work of faith. Because you believed that God, no matter what happened, you believed what he said. He took him up there and he was going to do that. But before he ever laid that child out on that altar, before he tied that child up, before he ever raised that knife up, he said, we will be back. That just amazes me. He says, we will be back. If you're looking for it, it's in the New King James, look in the concordance and look up the word lad. Me and the lad, I think it says, me and the lad go yonder, but we will return. Or me and the lad will return. But the word lad is in there. It's amazing that he believed God and was willing to do that work that he asked him to do. So in James, we can see that they're the justified by works. It's justified by faith. Works of faith, not works of men. One of the biggest arguments against immersion for salvation is that it's only the work of man. Right? I tell you to come forward to be baptized. You come forward. I'm there. You're there. I put you in the water and pull you out. Right? A work of man. That's one of the biggest problems that people have with immersion for salvation. And that's where you come in contact with the blood. That's what the devil's trying to do. It doesn't matter what you believe, how close you come to God. You could come at the foot of the cross. Literally be sitting at the foot of the cross and see the Son of God. And you were the one, when he was let down, that you carried him to his burial place and that you wept because the Son of God had been killed. Or you could have been the one that hollered curses and profanity at him and mocked him. You could come to the foot of the cross. But if you miss that blood, you miss salvation. So the devil's trying to say he's okay with faith only. Faith only means that you can understand the principles and the oracles and all these things of God, but you're not living out your faith. Right? Faith only, it brings you right to the cross where you sit there. And you understand all these things. It's not that these people didn't believe this stuff. They certainly believed that Jesus raised from the dead and who He was, and He was the Son of God. And that the apostles started the church. But it was faith only. This immersion stuff, I want no part of it. I miss that blood. Colossians 2:12 says the same thing that was wrote up here about Abraham that James said, okay? I'll read James again and then I'll read Colossians. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you not see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Now we'll read Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised us from the dead. If Abraham had slayed Isaac, then he knew that by the work of God, that Isaac would be raised. And that was faith. That was a work of faith. That he believed that if he slayed Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. Christ believed the same thing. Christ knew that when his body went into the ground, that it was the promise of the Father that was going to raise him from the dead. And it was the Holy Spirit that did that work. And the Holy Spirit that did that work was received on the day that he was immersed by John. It tells you the Holy Spirit came and alighted on him like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Baptism is a work, but it's a work of God. That's what it says. I'll read it again. Buried with him in baptism. Buried with him. See, this is not talking about that when Christ was baptized, this is talked about when we were baptized, because we were buried with Him. In which you were also raised with Him, same way that He was raised, our bodies will be raised, through faith. Through faith. None of that has been taken away. But it says, in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. What was the work of God? It's what happened in that water of baptism. Immersion is a work. It's a work of faith on our part. But inevitably, it is a work of God. That's what it says. In the working of God, that baptism. What that means is if God was not involved in what happened in that water and that immersion, you were simply getting wet. I can grab people and dunk them all day long. Right? Drag them into the church and baptize them. But if they don't believe and they have no intention of being faithful, or they don't want to, there's no work that happens there. The faith of the believer believes what God said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Just like when Abraham was told, take your son up there and slay him. The one that I said, through his seed, the world would be blessed. And Abraham says, I don't understand how that being dunked in water can save you, but I believe what you said. And so I'm going to do this. And I know I said Abraham said that, but I'm trying to bring it into our terms. People say, what has that got to do with salvation? How can that? But that's what God said to do. Why would God ask Abraham to slay his son? Well, he tells you. He wanted Abraham to know that I wouldn't withhold anything from you, Lord. We can say that. But what he was going to expect of Abraham and his descendants? They had to really live that out. They couldn't withhold anything from God. Look at what Moses sacrificed. The people that went into captivity in Egypt, look at the things that they sacrificed. They couldn't withhold anything from God. They had to be ready to die and give up everything for Him. And Abraham was assured that he was the father of the people that was going to do that. Immersion is a work of God. It says so in Colossians 2:12. This is where we come in contact with the blood of Christ, His death. It's what it says. Buried with Him in baptism. You don't bury a live person. You bury someone who's dead. And it says that you were also raised with Him through faith. This is where we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And I'll show you how. Okay? See, this is the work of faith that I was talking about. It is by His grace that He allows the immersion to be our cross. Christ died on a cross. Christ didn't die in being baptized. He died on a cross. But He says that when we are immersed, we are buried with Him. Thank God His grace allows us to die in that immersion and not have to die on the cross the way that He did. How many converts do you think it would take if that was necessary for salvation? He did it. And by His grace, He said, I did this, and now I'm going to allow you to partake in it, and what I ask for you to do is to be immersed. Not for obedience. I want you to be immersed for the remission of your sins. Because when I died on that cross, when I died on that tree, my blood was shed, which cleansed you of your sins. It is by His grace that He allows this immersion to be our cross. That's where we die and be justified by the work that He did. It's His grace that allows us that when you are immersed, then you were crucified with me. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody do the work that He did and then He look at you and say, I ask you to be immersed in water and then I will count to you as righteousness in the way that I died for you? Why would anybody do that? He says it's by His grace. Because He loves you. Do you understand? I know you understand, but I mean, do you really see that by His grace He allowed us to die with Him on that cross? And we don't have to go to the cross to do it. We go to the watery grave of baptism. And He says, if you do this, that is sufficient for me. And when I bring you into my Father's kingdom, He says, I will make a stand for you and say, He died with me on that cross. That's what grace is. Or do you think that His ministry and His death on the cross was not a work? Coming to church is a work. Praying is a work. Truly evaluating yourself around this table is a work. Do you think the life and ministry that Christ lived, do you think that that was a work? Oh my, yes. Think about all the things that He might have liked to do. Hold the hand of a woman and walk through the fields and feel that excitement and see the sun and hear the water and just know that tomorrow was going to be beautiful because you could see her again. Or to have a child come up and sit on your lap and say, Daddy, I need chocolate. Huh? And you're like, you know, just the way she said it and the look on her face, the little pity tails. Or when your son comes to you and he's listening to music and he's like, Dad, listen to this. And the song says, you know, something, say a little prayer. He's like, you know, they're thinking about God, Dad. All the joys that this life brings us. And you think His ministry wasn't a work? Abstaining from those things? Oh my gosh, it's a work that only He could do. I couldn't have. If salvation was left up to me, we'd all be in trouble. That's a fact. This is my last slide. John 6:28-29. And then they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? That's what the whole question was here. What works of God do you want us to do? What works of faith, God, do you want us to do to please Christ? huh, that you want us to do to please you? What works of faith, what works will bring about salvation? And he tells us. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to him, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." Those people that believe in faith only, they never knew that faith and belief, that it was the work that was given to man. God will make no one believe. But through that belief, we act out in faith of what He said. God makes no one believe. No one. It is a work of, that God has given us to believe on Jesus. Put it in a little more perspective. You got your family and it's growing up and you know, you got your house and you just went and got a new car and you're out there and you come home and you decided you wanted to get some new furniture and you went out to eat to celebrate and stuff and then 6 months later you've lost your business. You're about ready to lose everything you had. Where's your belief in God then? Where's that faith that says He loves me? This is the work that God has given us to believe in His Son. And it's not a one-time thing. I mean, immersion is a one-time thing. Faithfulness is not a one-time thing. Coming around this table and praying, these are not one-time things. These are works of faith that are produced in us because of who Jesus is that we believe. It's a work of God for us to keep the faith that is required in Jesus for us to live out our faith. Wouldn't think belief is a work, would you? It is. God makes no one believe. This is the work that is given to man. It is for you to believe. And for those of you that think that you just that any immersion is okay and that you just do whatever, I mean, you can just be immersed and that's okay, and that you think that's throwing away belief, the eunuch, the Bible says that when Philip came to him, to the eunuch, he says, is this passage, he was reading Isaiah about Jesus, and he says, is this passage talking about you or someone else? And the Bible says that at that passage, Philip began to teach Jesus. And then they passed by some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being immersed? Where would he get the idea of immersion? They just preach Jesus. Can't have a message about Jesus without immersion to show someone who He is. And so they stopped the chariot. The Bible says they went down into the water and came out of the water. But before all that happened, he asked the question. He said, look, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip gave him the answer. Now, you won't find this in the NIV. They leave it out. Shame on them. But it says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you may be immersed. Do not think that by immersion that your belief has been, just like the people under the law, okay? This is where he said, not works of the law. Don't think that your belief has been pushed aside because you're immersed. Your belief is proven because you are immersed. Because He asked you to do this for salvation. And you do it because you believe in Him. Remember, this is the work of God. Right out of the mouth of Jesus, this is the work of God. That you believe in Him whom He sent. And that's Jesus. So you have to ask yourself, do you still believe that works have no part in your salvation? That's the question you have to ask yourself, because there's a lot of people that will get up this morning and they will come around this table and this Bible will be opened and they will be talked to and preached to, but they will be told to simply bow their heads. Now, after this lesson, if you believe that, you have to see that is an error. This lesson didn't answer everything, but it answers a lot in a short amount of time. And you have to see that faith only will not save you. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And why were we immersed? The Bible says here that when we're immersed, we're buried with Him in baptism. When we take part in what He did on that cross, we come in contact with that blood. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin. And that word is in there, for. It's not because, it's for. For the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And so we always ask, what's your decision as we stand and as we sing? We always ask that. But you see, when you stand and you think about those words and you make the decision to come forward, you've done the work of God, the work of faith, that you've come forward to believe in that message and to be immersed. God makes no one believe. That's your work. So now, what's your decision? As we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation.